Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, two lines down. Tanur Banan. Yom Tov Shechal Yom Shabbat. If Yom Tov coincides with Shabbat, meaning that the first day of Yom Tov is on Shabbat, Beit Shemai Omrim Mitpalel Shmona. Then you have eight brachot in Shmona Esrei. Vomer Shal Shabbat Bifnei Atzma, Vishal Yom Tov Bifnei Atzma. Each one of those, Me'ina Me'ora, meaning that the unique aspect of each day is incorporated in its own bracha. So you have one bracha that is Mekadesh Shabbat, and you have one bracha which is Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Each one is independent. And there'll be eight brachot in Shmona Esrei. That's because the first three brachot are fixed. Those are the brachot of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Birka of Avot, Gvurot, and Kedusha. Those three brachot are always part of any Shmona Esrei. And the latter three brachot, which are the brachot of Hodayah, which are Avoda, Hoda'ah, and Shalom, or Birkat Kohanim, those three brachot are also fixed. You always have six brachot at minimum. On a weekday, you have 12 brachot in the middle, which give you Shmona Esrei. In the time of Shmuel HaKatan, they added in a 13th, so there's really 19, but it remained known as Shmona Esrei. Lamal Shinim was added at that time. Any other time, we then take out those middle bakashot, which are the 12 in the middle. Those bakashot are replaced on Yom Tov with a bracha that's associated with Yom Tov. So on Rosh Hashanah, we replace it with three brachot for Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. On Yom HaKippurim, we replace it with one bracha for Yom HaKippurim. Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. So those middle brachot are flexible or can be changed to reflect or better reflect the tenor of the day or what we're looking to do in the Shmona Esrei. So over here we have Shabbat and Yom Tov competing and coinciding. Beit Shammai says each one of them gets their own bracha. So you have the six basic brachot, the three in the beginning, three in the end, plus two middle brachot, one for Mekadesh HaShabbat, and one for Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Beit Hillel Omrim Mitpalel Sheva, that you only do seven, meaning that means that there's only one middle bracha, and that middle bracha will incorporate both Yom Tov and Shabbat in it. Matchil V'Shel Shabbat, you do the opening where you discuss the Shabbat, Misayim V'Shel Shabbat, you end the bracha with Mekadesh HaShabbat, V'Omer Kedushat HaYom B'Emtza, in the middle of the bracha, you add in that the Korban of the day and the extra pieces of davening that fit into the Yom Tov, or the theme of that Yom Tov, will be incorporated in the middle of the bracha, like maybe Yalev Yovel would be included in the middle of the bracha. But you open with Shabbat, close with Shabbat, and you have Yom Tov in the middle. Rabbi Omer, Avchutem Ba, the ending bracha is not just Mekadesh Shabbat, but rather Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael Vazmanim, that there is incorporation of both themes in the closing bracha. And that is Mekadesh Shabbat. And Yisrov Azmanim is the reason that you put Shabbat separate from Yisrov Azmanim is because Shabbat is Kiva V'Kaimo, meaning that it exists whether B'nai Yisrov are Mekadesh or not. Every 7 days there's a Shabbat. It's there from Breshit when God created the world in 7 days. There is a Shabbat irrespective of whether B'nai Yisrov keep it or whether they sanctify it. Then the Yomim Tovim rely on B'nai Yisrov to be sanctified the Chodesh and to sanctify the Yom Tov. And therefore, the Kedushat Yisrael is the premise or the prerequisite for there being Kedushat Yom Tov. And therefore, it's Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael, and Azmanim. Because Yisrael is a prerequisite to there being Zmanim. Only if Beit Din is Mekadesh the Chodesh or is Mekadesh Yom Tov, will there be a Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov basically falls out on a weekday. It would otherwise be any regular weekday. The only thing that changes it is the fact that there's a calendar that says that this day is unique according to the Torah. That determination of whether the day is unique or not has to do with the Kiddush HaChodesh, establishing the calendar based on the Kiddush HaChodesh and the date of the month. And that was clearly the case when they were Mekadesh HaPiriyah, when they switched to a calendrical Kiddush HaChodesh. So the way that it's formulated by many Rishonim is that at that moment they were Mekadesh in the future, all those Rosh Chodeshim, and that they set in motion a Kedushah that is then embedded in the Rosh Chodesh that comes out based on the principles of the calendar that they established, and therefore Rosh Chodesh and the Yamim Tovim were Mekudash Ayyidei Yisrael, but it was put in motion at an earlier time that still carries weight today, or our affirmation of what they did in the calendar then is Mekadesh it, or gives it that imbued Kedusha, and so it's still Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. So in order to have the closing bracha incorporate both of them, you have Mekadesh Shabbat V'Yisrael Vazmanim. Tani Tana Kamei D'Ravina, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Shabbat V'Azmanim. So that the bracha is actually Yisrael first, then Shabbat and Zmanim. Samalei, Atu Shabbat, Yisrael Mekadshelei. What do you mean? The Bnei Yisrael Mekadesh the Shabbat? HaShabbat Mekadsho Vikaimo is already in place. It's holy, irrespective of what Bnei Yisrael do. Ele'ema, the right way to say it is Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael Vazmanim, as we noted before and as we explained before. Rav Yosef, Alocha Ki Rabbi. The Alocha is like Rabbi Ki Dimitaritz Ravina. The halacha is like Rabbi, that we incorporate both brachot, like Beit Hillel, that both Shabbat and Yom Tov are included in a single bracha. Like Rabbi, that the closing bracha incorporates both Shabbat and Yom Tov. And like Ravina's explanation, that the way to say it, or the verbiage, should be Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael, Ve'azmanim. And even though Ravina lived many years after Rav Yosef, nevertheless, when it says here that Amar Rav Yosef halacha k'Rabbi, and the way that Ravina explained it, Rav Yosef is just passing like Rabbi. The stomach of the Gemara is saying when he passing like Rabbi, that's with this qualification of Ravina, that's not part of the statement of Rav Yosef, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Rav Yosef was before Ravina, never must be the Gemara that's saying that added piece, and Rav Yosef is simply saying the halacha is like Rabbi. So now the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Shabbat shechal yot b'rosh chodesh o b'chol shel moed. What happens if you have Shabbat that falls out, like in the middle of Sukkot, or you have Shabbat in the middle of Pesach, so it's chol moed coinciding with Shabbat, or you have Rosh Chodesh that falls out on Shabbat? Arvit, Shacharit v'mincha, at the three tefillot that are the regular tefillot of any weekday, there, mitpalel sheva, you daven seven brachot, because that's what you do on Shabbat. Shabbat includes the three beginning brachot, the three tail brachot, and the one in the middle, which is Mekadesh Shabbat. You do a similar thing when it coincides with Chol HaMoed, or when it coincides with Rosh Chodesh. You would do the same thing and say Mekadesh Shabbat, and only speak about Shabbat in the middle bracha. And then you deal with Chol HaMoed, or Rosh Chodesh, in Avoda, in the bracha of Ritzei, which is Yalav Yovo, the way that we do it in the bracha of Ritzei. V'lim Amar, if you didn't say it, makzirin oto, you have to go back. Meaning that Me'ena Ma'ora is fundamental to the Shmon Esrei. And if you leave out the Me'ena Ma'ora, which is the uniqueness of the day in Shmon Esrei, then you have failed to daven properly. We've discussed back in the Gemara Brochot what that failure means. That means you daven Shmon Esrei, but you miss Me'ena Ma'ora, and you need to daven again to include Me'ena Ma'ora. Or does the absence of Me'ena Ma'ora make it as if you didn't daven Shmon Esrei at all? And again, that will have nafkaminot in terms of makeups and in terms of whether it's valuable to daven when the tefillah that you're going to daven is not the same tefillah that you missed. And it's discussed in the Tosfot in Tefillah Teshachar in Barasaka Brachot. We discussed extensively there the different views within the Rishonim with regards to that. So here, if you didn't say it, you have to go back. Rabbi Lezer Omer Boda. Lezer's of the view that you add in this Yalav Yavo or Me'ena Ma'ora in Hoda'ah and Tov Shimchala Chanel Odot, like we do with Alan Nisim, and not in Ritzei. We don't pass them like that with Alocha. The Alocha is that we do Yalav Yavo in Bracha of Ritzei. U'musafim. When it comes to Musaf, which is an added tefillah of the day, and it's an added tefillah that's true of Shabbat, had it been a weekday, it would also be added into the tefillah of Musaf for Rosh Chodesh or for Chol HaMoed. So they have significance in this extra tefillah. When it comes to Shachrit, Mincha and Maariv, you daven those any day, and on Chol HaMoed, you daven them when it's not Shabbat, you daven regular Shachrit, Mincha, Maariv, and you just add in Yalav Yovo and Avoda. So it's the same thing when it comes to Shabbat. They're not going to upend the bracha of Shabbat. We just add them in the way we'd add them in a weekday, which is in the bracha of Ritzei, we add in Yalav Yovo. Then when it comes to Musaf, Musaf is an added tefillah that's not every day, and it had not been Shabbat, you would have said Musaf anywhere, added Musaf for Rosh Chodesh or for Chol HaMoed. So now when you have it, Musafim, what do you do when you have him coincide with Shabbat? So matchil b'shal Shabbat, u'misayim shal Shabbat. You begin with the bracha of Shabbat, meaning the topic or theme of Shabbat. You end with Mekadesh Shabbat. V'omer k'dushat ha'yom b'emtza, and you mention Rosh Chodesh or the Chol HaMoed in the middle, meaning that you mention the korbanot of that day in the middle and the theme of the day in the middle. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omrim, Kol makom shuzkak the sheva, matchil b'shal Shabbat, misayim shal Shabbat, v'omer k'dushat ha'yom b'emtza. Anytime you have seven brachot, then, and there's a thematic middle bracha, like on Shabbat, where all the tefillot have seven brachot, and the middle bracha is a thematic bracha about Shabbat, then you add in the Kedushat Hayom there. And so you would add in about Chol HaMoed in that middle bracha. You would add in about Rosh Chodesh in that middle bracha. And not put it in Ritzei with Yalav Yovo, because you're already dealing with a thematic middle bracha. So if that's the theme for Shabbat, why not add in the theme of Chol HaMoed, or add in the theme of Rosh Chodesh? Why do you have to put it in the bracha of Avoda? Ravuna, in halacha koto azug. That pair of chachamim that says that, the halacha is not like them. And the reason it doesn't say the halacha is like the Tanakhama is because we don't totally pass like the Tanakhama either. Therefore, it's saying we definitely don't pass like this pair of chachamim, and we partially pass like the Tanakhama, but that's only with the emendation of Rabbi and Ravina. That means that we do incorporate Yom Tov in the bracha. And that's the way we pass that the halacha is not like them, meaning that we do not include it in that middle bracha, but we do include it in Ritzei, through Yalav Yovo. That's the way we do it. That's true of Shachrit, Mincha, Maariv. When it comes to Musaf, That's not the case, because we pass in the way that the Braita brought before by Musafim, that you begin with Shabbat, you end with Shabbat, you put Kedushat Hayom in the middle. We paskin like that with the emendation we saw before of Rabbi's view and Ravina, which is, yes, you start with Shabbat, and we put in the Meina Ma'ura in the middle, the Chol HaMoed or Rosh Chodesh in the middle with regards to Musafim, but when we close the Brocha, we close it like Rabbi says with Mekadesh HaShabbat, V'Yisrael, and V'Roshei Chodeshim, V'Kadesh HaShabbat V'Yisrael, V'Azmanim, even when it's Chol HaMoed, or even when it's Rosh Chodesh, when we're dealing with the Musaf, because they are equally contributing to the fact that we're davening Musaf. It's not that they're just added in. Musaf is an extra tefillah, whether it's Shabbat or not. Therefore, since they have equal contribution in us davening Musaf, we incorporate them into the middle bracha with Shabbat, and therefore it includes both of the items there, and we don't do Meinam, Ora, and Ritzei, but rather incorporate them in that middle bracha. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. We mentioned this in yesterday's daf, that there's a possibility when you have Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Goliot, that you can actually create a Tnai and put down an Erev Tchumim if you forgot it to put it down before Yom Tov. And that is because one of the 2 days is Chol. You're keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, and that Safek means one is Kodesh and one is Chol. So now, one of those 2 days, you can make an Erev Tchumim because it's really a weekday and not Yom Tov. So what you do is you go on the first day and say, if today is Yom Tov, then my Erev Tchumim is meaningless because I don't need an Erev Tchumim to go anywhere on the next day, on the second day of Yom Tov, because it's really Chol. Then if today is Chol, today is the weekday, and tomorrow is Kodesh, then I'm putting down an Erev Tchumim today that will go into effect for Yom Tov tomorrow, and therefore I could use this Erev Tchumim for tomorrow. And Amar Rava, Rava says you could do the same thing. If you have a Yom Tov that's Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbat's coming afterwards, you're supposed to put the Erev Tchumim down on Wednesday. If you forgot to create it on Wednesday, you could go on Thursday and Friday and do it all tonight and say the following. If on Thursday is really Yom Tov, then I don't need an Erev Tavshilim tomorrow because tomorrow is a weekday and I can prepare for Shabbat on a weekday. If today is a weekday, then this is my Erev Tavshilim that will allow me to cook tomorrow for Shabbat. And in that way, you can make an Erev Tavshilim. Rashi claims that the case of Erev Tchumin is in that same vein where it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, and you're trying to put down an Erev Tchumin for Shabbat. Now, you don't have to say that because Erev Tchumim can be relevant for Yom Tov itself and not just for Shabbat. But Rashi claims that that's the case, and therefore you have to make a Tanai in the following manner. On the first day of Yom Tov, you say, if today is Chol, this is my Erev Tchumim, it'll go into effect when Yom Tov starts, and it'll be effect for Yom Tov and Shabbat. If today is Yom Tov, and I can't make an Erev Tchumim, then tomorrow I'll put down my Erev Tchumim. And then the next day, he has to do the same thing again and say, if yesterday was Yom Tov, then this is my Erev Tchumim today, because today is Chol, and I'm making Erev Tchumim to use on Shabbat. If yesterday was Chol, and today is Yom Tov, then I already made my Erev Tchumim yesterday, and what I'm doing today is meaningless. Rashi indicates that the case is similar with regards to Tchumim as it is by Tavshilin, where it's a Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Yom Tov, that one is trying to then, on condition, put down an Erev Tavshilin to create an Erev Tavshilin or create an Erev Tchumim. So manda amar Eruvei Tchumim, koshken Eruvei Tavshilin. The one who says that you can make an Erev Tchumim, then certainly you can make an Erev Tavshilin al Tanai. Manda amar Eruvei Tavshilin, the one who permits Erev Tavshilin, of a Erev Tchumim lo. But by an Erev Tchumim, it would not be the case. My Taimo. What's the difference between an Erev Tchumim and an Erev Tavshilin? Says the Mikneh Shvita B'Shabta lo. One is not allowed to establish Shvita on a Yom Tov. So Rashi says, Lav Davka Shabta Gnakot. It's not talking about Shabbat, because you're doing this on Yom Tov. El Yom Tov Kari Shabta. We know that many times in the Torah, Yom Tov is referred to as a Shabbat, and over here, Shabbat means you're not allowed to create an Erev Tchumim on Shabbat or on Yom Tov. And what Rashi says is, Lo tiro lo liknot shvita b'yom tov. You can't create shvita on Yom Tov. Afilu misafek. Even though over here, you're really not doing it on Yom Tov, because you're saying one of the 2 days is Chol, and you're doing it on the day that is Chol. They didn't allow you to do this. It's still seen as being as if it's on Yom Tov, because we're treating both days like Yom Tov. Never looks like you've been kone shvita on Yom Tov. And even though they allowed it by Erev Tavshilin, which means that you are using this idea that one of the 2 days is Chol, and therefore premised on that, you're making the Erev Tavshilin, that's because Erev Tavshilin is for Kavod HaShabbat. But Erev Tchumim, which is a personal benefit to you, that we're not going to let you play on this idea that one of the 2 days is Chol, and therefore you can be kone shvita, because both days are really Yom Tov, and we're treating them like Yom Tov. For certain sfeikot will allow you to make it that one is Chol, one is Yom Tov, but that's only if there is a higher value that can then override or mitigate the fact that we want both days to be Yom Tov. So Kavod HaShabbat is one of those things that does allow you to do it, But for Tchumin, we're not going to allow you to do that. And since Rova is the Batra, the Loch will be like Rova, that you can make an Erev Tavshalin al Tanai, but you cannot make an Erev Tchumin al Tanai. Tosfot over here tries to reconcile this with the Gemara in Erevin, who seems to think that the problem of Yom Tov to Shabbat and making these types of preparations is Hachana. Why does over here the Gemara say that the problem is the Mikneh Shvita B'Shabto is problematic? Why don't they invoke the principle of Hachana, that you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat, which is problematic, rather than this Mikneh Shvita and Yom Tov, which would be problematic? So Tosfot at first tries to even mechalek or differentiate between them. In the end, he says they're the same thing. The reason you can't be Mikneh Shvita on Shabbat, meaning that you can't be Koneh Shvita on Yom Tov for Shabbat, is because it is a problem of Hachana. And since it's a problem of Hachana, we don't allow you to do that. But then Tosfot is caught in a bind because we said earlier on in the Masechta on Daf Dalet that if you have an egg that's born on one day of Yom Tov, you can eat it on the next day of Yom Tov, exactly because of this safek, that either the day before was Yom Tov and today it's Chol, so you can eat it because you don't need preparation for that day, or yesterday was Chol and today is Yom Tov and therefore the preparation was done on Chol for Yom Tov, and therefore Mimonav Shach, you can eat the egg on the second day. And according to Rabbi Yochanan over there, even from Yom Tov to Shabbat would be permissible because there's no issue of Hachana. How does that reconcile with what we just said here according to the Balei Tosafot, that everybody believes that there is a problem of Hachana? How come over there we do rely on this safek between the 2 days for the egg, and we don't worry about Hachana, and over here you worry about Hachana? So Tosafot differentiates and says there's a different type of Hachana. Here you're actively preparing something from one day to the next. That type of Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbat, we're going to say, is problematic, and therefore you can't engage in that activity, even if you say that Yom Tov is a Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol. On the other hand, Aval Mashimati Rabbi Yochanan Hainu Gabi Beitza Dav Yachana Bidei Shemayim. That's something that's done in the heavens. I mean, something that happens by itself. That type of Hachana, there we will rely on the fact that the days of Yom Tov are a Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol, and therefore you can utilize the egg that was born on the first day of Yom Tov, on the second day of Yom Tov, or from the Yom Tov to the subsequent Shabbat, because there is no Hachana with regards to this item between Yom Tov to Shabbat, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Rambam has a strange shita with regards to this, and he says that all this discussion in the Gemara is only in the time of Amoraim, where they're Mekadesh Opi Ariyah. But today, where we're Mekadesh Opi the calendar, we know for sure the second day of Yom Tov is really not Yom Tov, but it's Minhag Avotam B'Yadam. According to the Rambam, you can put down the Erev on the second day of Yom Tov without any conditions, because it's really Chol. So many of the Rishonim and Achronim are perplexed by this view of the Rambam, because there are many indications in the Gemara that this persisted even after the time of Mekadesh Opi Ariyah, and that these questions or these conditions are still applicable even after the calendar was put in place, and we still consider it, even though it's Minhag Avotam B'Yadam. The Minhag Avotam B'Yadam is to treat them like they were when it was B'Safek. And that means one of the days is Chol, one of the days is Yom Tov, but it's still a Safek, and we don't treat the second day as if it's completely Chol. Okay, continue here in the Gemara. Tanur Banan, Enofim Yom Tov L'Chaviro. One may not bake from one day of Yom Tov to the other day. Be'emet Amru, nevertheless, the locha is Mimala Isha Kolak Deira Basar. So even though a woman only needs one piece of meat on that day of Yom Tov, she can fill the entire pot with meat, and then whatever is left over, she can utilize on the other day of Yom Tov. A baker can fill the entire barrel of water, even though he only needs one jug worth of water. When it comes to baking, only bake that which you need. So the distinction, as Rashi points out over here, is why in one case you allow to increase the volume that you are preparing without any negative repercussions for cooking on that day, whereas by baking we don't say that. So Rashi explains over here, the b'chad tircha sagi, with one action, one effort, you can do this. So when you're cooking the meat, it's just one action to cook the meat. When you're drawing the water, it's only one action to bring the water, prepare the water that you need. That's not true when it comes to baking, because each piece of bread is uniquely separate and requires baking and removing from the oven. And therefore, each one requires independent tircha. That independent tircha is extra tircha that's not necessary. So if it's one effort to do more, then we're going to say to you, go ahead, do whatever you need on Yom Tov, and then you can include more, because the same effort you took to cook one piece of meat is to cook all the pieces of meat together. And it might even be one large piece of meat, and then you're going to cut a piece off of it, so that's fine. And same thing with the water. That tircha, to bring that bottle of water, is going to be just as big an undertaking as it is to bring the smaller jug of water. Therefore, just bring the big barrel of water, and you can use what you need, and then whatever's left over, you can use on the next day. By afiyah, since each thing is a separate tircha, and as others point out, that they are, each one is a unique piece or a unique item, there we don't allow you to do extra tircha in order to benefit from the fact that you baked one piece of bread today, so then you're going to bake all these other loaves of bread. Just because you baked one loaf of bread, we're not going to let you bake all these other loaves of bread at the same time, because each bread or each loaf requires additional effort. It's true that maybe you can knead them all together in one shot, and that you can make all the preparations until the point where you separate them in one shot. But when you separate them out to bake them, they're already, each afiyah is a separate afiyah, and each removal from the oven is also a separate action or engagement with the bread. Therefore, you can't do that and increase the numbers on one Yom Tov that you'll have left over for the other Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Memala Yisha Kol HaTanur Pat, Mipnei HaShapat Na'afa Yafa Bezman Shatanur Malei. Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees and says that when it comes to the bread, you can also increase the volume of the bread, because the more bread that's in the oven, the better the bread bakes. The way Rashi says it is that volumetrically, the bread that's added into the oven takes up airspace, and therefore the airspace is reduced, and the oven gets hotter. And since it gets hotter, the bread bakes better, and it breaks through and through and doesn't leave any raw bread. So the fact that you have more bread in there makes it a better baking experience, even for the one loaf that you want. So since it's an improvement to the one loaf you want by having the other bread there, therefore when you're putting this bread in, we allow you to put the other bread to enhance the baking of the bread that you want. The Tos would read, on the other hand, explains just the opposite, which is that when you have larger quantity of bread there, it diffuses, it disperses the heat between the different breads, and therefore it doesn't burn them. If you had one loaf of bread, the heat would be too intense for that one loaf of bread, and then it would burn it. Now that you have more loaves of bread to bake in there, it diffuses the heat, and therefore they bake better and not burn. And obviously the different reasons will have nafkaminot when you're dealing with ovens or baking instruments that work differently than they did in their time, as to whether it's better or worse than to have more bread in there. Does it make it hotter or less hot, depending on what you think the issue is, and that will have ramifications halachically as to what you would permit on Yom Tov today. And then Amar Rava, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rava says halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so not only when it comes to cooking of items, but also when it comes to baking of items, if there is an enhancement to the item that you need on that day of Yom Tov, we allow you to increase the quantity, because that increase in quantity then will benefit you with regards to what you're trying to prepare now, or it's only one tircha, and because of that, we allow you to do more than you need on Yom Tov, and have leftovers for the following Yom Tov, or possibly even for Shabbat afterwards, because you're not doing it for that purpose of the next day, but rather because it's either the same tircha, or enhances that which you are cooking or baking at this point in time, and therefore it's beneficial to you at this moment. Person who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, hu nasar v'kimcho nasar. Is it the case that he is now restricted from using his food to prepare for Shabbat? And also his food itself is also asur to be used to prepare for Shabbat. Maybe the restriction is only on him personally, but the items that he has in his house are not restricted. The Mainaf Kamino. What's the difference of whether he's restricted or his items are restricted? It's whether he can give over his food items or his ingredients to another party to prepare food. If you say that both he and the food items are problematic, then he has to give over ownership over his ingredients of food items to other people in order that they can prepare it, because he's restricted and his item is restricted. So the way to remove the restriction from the item is to have someone else take possession of it. And obviously you have to make a kinyan in a way that is not problematic on Yom Tov, which is to give it or gift it to the other person, but not to do a formalized kinyan, which obviously would be like Sava Matan, doing transactions or business on Yom Tov, which would not be permitted. You have to grant the ownership to the other party so they can prepare it. If you say he's restricted, but his food ingredients are not restricted, then he doesn't have to grant ownership to other people. They could just cook it for him on his behalf. That is the girsa that Rashi has in the Gemara. Tosafot is bothered by the girsa for a number of reasons, one of which is, if it's asur for him, and the chetza, the object itself, is asur, why should the Easter go away when you transfer ownership to another party? Whenever you have an object that's asur, the object is objectively asur, not subjectively asur. If you say it's him that's restricted, then that's a subjective restriction. Once you say the items or the food ingredients are asur, why should it change when you give over the ownership to someone else? And besides that, can somebody do something for him that he can't do for himself? We don't find isurim like that, where someone else can do an action or undertake a malacha on your behalf that you can't do for yourself. Therefore, Tosfot says just the opposite and reverses the girsa, which is that if you say that he is asur and his kemach is asur, then there's nothing you can do to help him out, because giving over ownership to the other party is not going to do anything in that case. On the other hand, if he is restricted, but his food items are not restricted, then granting it to the other party will allow them to work with those items, and that would be permissible. Sumai, what's the din? Tashma. Person who didn't initiate an Erev Tavshilin, that person may not bake, may not cook, and do Hatmana in preparation from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Lo lo, not for himself, v'lo la'acherim, and not for others, v'lo acherim ofim uvashrim lo, and others can't do it on his behalf. Ketzad hu oseh, so then what is the solution to the problem? Makne kimcho la'acherim ofim lo umvashrim lo. So he gives over the ownership of his food ingredients or the substances to other parties, and then they bake and cook on his behalf. Shmamina, so according to Rashi, the Shmamina is hu nesar v'kimcho nesar, that both he and his ingredients are asurim, and therefore the kinyan helps to get you out of that problem. That's the solution that's brought by the Braita. Then according to Tosfot, it's Shmamina, hu asur v'en kimcho nesar, that he is restricted, but his ingredients are not restricted, and that's why you can give over the kinyan to someone else. So what we see is that a kinyan does work as a solution. The only question is, what does kinyan solve? According to Rashi, it solves the problem when you're both you and the objects are asurim. Whereas for Tosfot, it solves the problem as to when you are asur, but your objects are not asur, then it can solve the problem. Ibailu, avar va'afa amai. Someone who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, and then, without the Erev Tavshilin, went ahead and prepared from Yom Tov to Shabbat, he violated the restriction to Rabbanon. What's the din? Tashma. So let us see. Mishlo niyach Erev Tavshilin, ketzad hu oseh. Person who has not made an Erev Tavshilin, what does he do? Makne kimcho la'acherim, v'acherim ofim lo v'vashim lo. The bright that we just quoted says the solution to the problem is to give it to other parties, not for him to do it himself. If you say that if he bakes for himself or he cooks for himself, that will work, litnei avar v'afa, mutar. Then let him say that if you violated the restriction and baked it, it would have been mutar. That would be another solution, another way to get out of the problem. Whereas avar avadu v'matno, Tana takanta de heterak tani, takanta de isura lok tani. That doesn't make any sense. When the Tana comes to explain solutions to the problem, he's trying to tell what are permissible solutions to the problem. He's not telling you, well, if you violate the isur, then you'll be okay too. First of all, we don't encourage people to do that. And number two is that's just not topically relevant. It's not the way that we present solutions to people. We present solutions to people where they can do it in a permitted manner, not in a way they can do it in an impermissible manner. The last thing is, and which is a little bit difficult about the question, is it's just not the topic of the Braita. The topic of the Braita is what he's restricted in. As a sidebar, it mentions, well, how do we solve the problem? We do this. But it's not really dealing with the topic of if you violated the restriction and baked it. So that's a little bit difficult, but the Gemara will go through other ways to solve the problem. The other thing that's interesting over here is Yushalmi, when discussing this Gemara, says a person who doesn't leave an Erev Tavshilin and doesn't have a solution to the problem in order to deal with it, then he's only allowed to cook or bake Kedei Chayav, whatever will be sufficient for him to survive on. He can't do anything more than that in terms of preparations from Yom Tov to Shabbat, and that's the knas, so that's the penalty that he will have to suffer for not putting in place an Erev Tavshilin. Tashma, Mishaniach Eruvei Tavshilin, Arizofe, Umavashel, Umatmin. Person who creates an Erev Tavshilin, puts it in place, he can bake, cook, and do Hatmana. Vim Ratzale Cholet Eruvo, Arishut Biyado. If you want to eat the Erev that you put in place to do this, you can do such. Achlo Achelo Afa, Hajloit Bishel, Hajloit Min, person did this before he did the preparations for Shabbat, you can then not prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat because you took away the vehicle by which it was permissible to do such. Lolo, Lola Acherim, not for himself, not for others, Vlo Acherim Ofinu Vashilin Lo, and others can't cook or bake for him. Aval, Vashel Hu the Yom Tov, he's allowed to cook on Yom Tov itself, Vimotir Hotir the Shabbat. If he has extra, he can leave that extra over to be used for Shabbat. Buvaj lo yarim. As long as you don't do this in a underhanded manner or in a devious manner in order to increase it. Vimeirim, and if you do it in a devious manner, asur, then it's problematic. So Rashi says the aram over here, or the devious method here, is to say after you've already cooked or prepared everything you need for Yom Tov, say, oh, maybe I'll have guests come over, and since I might have guests come over, I'm going to cook again some more stuff because maybe the guests will come and then you're really cooking for Shabbat. That's our aroma that we don't allow. What we do allow is that if you're prior to your Yom Tov meal and you're preparing for Yom Tov, we let you increase the quantities in the dishes that you're making already for Yom Tov. We allow you to increase those quantities for Shabbat, as we saw in the previous Amud, that we allow that to be done when it's a tircha achat, or in a situation where it enhances the item that you're cooking or baking, we allow you to do that. So that would be permissible over here, and that would be a haroma, quote unquote, that is permissible. But if you do it in an illegal manner, then we say it is asur. Now, why is that problematic? Just previously in the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph and Bet, we said that when it comes to salting pieces of meat, that Rav Adar Bar Ava allowed you to salt one piece of meat. Then he said, I don't want that one, salt another piece of meat. Then he said, I don't want that one, salt another piece of meat. And he would do that for all of them, so he would salt all of the pieces of meat, and then finally decide which one he wants by pushing off. That's a type of aroma. Why do we allow that to take place on Yom Tov, and we don't allow this type of aroma to take place on Yom Tov? So Rashi says, in Tosafot seconds this, that there's a distinction between them, and that is, Dein Ibud Bochlim. There's no such thing as really processing or tanning when it comes to foods. That's when you're working leather, or you're working an object that is not edible. When you deal with edible items, when you put too much salt or salt on them, that's not an Isur on Shabbat, it's an Isur Dirabonon. And even if you say that, it's still a bigger effort or undertaking that he does on Yom Tov, which we don't permit, nevertheless, Rashi says there's a trade-off. Because we don't allow him to salt all the items, he's not going to shech the animal because he's afraid he's going to lose it, it's going to go bad. So if we allow him to salt all the items, he'll shech the animal, and then he have Simchat Yom Tov. So the mitigating factor is, for Simchat Yom Tov, we'll allow you to do a little more tircha, and the little more tircha you're doing with aroma is not really a malocha, because it's something that's only really Usur Midirabanan. Rashi seems to indicate over here there's no Isser the Rabbanan, there's no Isser at all, it's just Harama, although the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that's just not the case, that there's still an Isser the Rabbanan of Ibud Ochlin, and that should be maybe a mitigating factor, but we offset that because of Simchat Yom Tov. Over here, where the aroma is, first of all, he forgot to set up an Erev Tavshilin, and number two is aroma is dealing with cooking or baking in a situation where it's not necessarily permissible, and it could be a problem to Oraita if he's cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat, if you believe that Yom Tov is not Mechin for Shabbat. So we look at that harama as a much more significant or problematic type of behavior. So Amar Avashi, harama kamart. You're saying here, you're bringing evidence from a devious manner to our situation where he wantonly violated the Isser of cook baking and just didn't do any harama. He just said, I'm baking from Yom Tov to Shabbat. That's not a good comparison, because Shani harama, de yachmiru bar rabbanan tfei mimezid. Chamim sometimes were more stringent when it comes to this devious methods than when you do it intentionally. Because as Rashi notes over here, by Mezid, person's a Rosha, and he's over here the Divrei Chachamim, and people are not going to learn from him, because he's doing something that's clearly against the Halacha, and he himself will take note of the fact that he did something really wrong, and he'll do tshuva. On the other hand, when it comes to aroma, when people do this in a devious manner, they think that that's a permissible way to do it. So number one, they won't do any tshuva and they won't change their ways because they think they did it in a permissible manner. On top of that, other people are going to see them and think that it is permissible because they did it by Rama, so that must mean that it's okay to do it by Rama, and then they'll emulate their behavior. So because of that, the Chachamim penalize people who do it by Rama, maybe in a more stringent fashion than when they do it intentionally. Because when you do it intentionally, it is clear, or it's mukha milta, that you're doing something wrong. By aroma, it's not as clear that you're doing something wrong, because people might think that it's permissible, and if they think it's permissible, they'll emulate the behavior, or they won't do any tshuva for what they did. So again, here, we don't have any proof as to what the din is, if afar ve'afa. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, Hamani, who's the author of this braita over here that says, im heirim asur, it's Chananya Aliba de Beit Shammai. That's the view of Chananya in the position of Beit Shammai, the Tanya. Chananya Omer, Beit Shammai Omerim, Enofim, Elim Kein, Erev, Bepat. You can't do Afiyah on Yom Tov for Shabbat unless you made an Erev Tavshilin with Pat. Ve'em, Mevashlim, Elim Kein, Erev, Betavshil. And you can't cook on Shabbat unless you do it with one cooked item in preparation, made an Erev Tavshilin. Ve'en Tomnim, Elim Kein, Hayu Chamin, Tmunim, Erev Yom Tov. Unless you did Hatmana, it's part of the Erev Tavshilin. So according to Beit Shammai in Chananya's view, any action you want to take on Yom Tov for Shabbat, you have to have already started that action previously before Yom Tov. So if you want to bake on Yom Tov, you need to have baked coming into Yom Tov and put it aside. If you want to cook, then you have to have cooked coming into Yom Tov and put it aside to use as your Erev Tavshilin. Or if you want to do Atmana from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you have to have done Atmana going into Yom Tov, upon which you are relying then to do the Atmana for Yom Tov to Shabbat. So each action requires its own, quote-unquote, Erev Tavshilin. You just need one Eruv, and you can do whatever you need on that Eruv. So you see that Chananya believes that Beit Shammai is very machmir when it comes to Erev Tavshilin, and therefore we also assign this opinion here, which is a stringent opinion that says if you do this by devious manner, that it's asur, that'll be like this Chananya in the name of Beit Shammai, who says that it's clear that Beit Shammai are very machmir with regards to Erev Tavshilin. So too in the violation of Erev Tavshilin, they also will be very machmir. But that doesn't tell us that the normative halacha is that way, necessarily that if one is avar v'afa, that we make it asur to eat that item that he prepared from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So now again, Tashma, we're going to try another proof. Maser perotav b'Shabbat. Someone who takes off Trumot Masrot on Shabbat, b'shogeg, if he does it unintentionally, yachel, he may partake of them, he may utilize them. B'mezid, lo yachel. If he did it intentionally, you can't eat from them. So there is a restriction against removing Trumot Masrot on Shabbat. It's a problem of tikkun machal. You're fixing it, you're changing its status. So it looks like tikkun kli, like as if you're fixing an object. And therefore the chachamim restricted you doing that on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. If somebody does it anyway, if it was unintentional that they did it, then they could partake of it. If they did it intentionally, we don't allow you to do this. So that would be an evidence of a case where we're dealing with a restriction midrabanan, and the person intentionally violated it, and we say that he is penalized for it. So same thing over here, where he violated not having an Erev Tavshilin. He baked or cooked anyway from Yom Tov to Shabbat, and that is a mezid. Someone does it intentionally, violating a din d'rabbanan. We should penalize him over here as well. Where it says, lo, tzricha deit lepei rachwine. Case over there in the Mishnah in Masrot is a situation in which he has other food items. He has what else to eat. And therefore, we can restrict him in this, and that won't ruin his oneg Shabbat. The other hand here, where he has no other option, because if he doesn't bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, he'll have nothing on Shabbat. Maybe over there, we wouldn't penalize him. Tashma, amatzbil kelav b'Shabbat, b'shogeg ishtamesh mehem, b'mezid lo ishtamesh mehem. Again here, there's a problem of tikkun kli, taking a kli that is tamei and putting it in the mikveh to make it tahor on Shabbat on Yom Tov is problematic because it looks like you're fixing the kli. You're taking it from an unusable state to a usable state because you're taking it from being tamei to tahor. And we don't allow that on Shabbat and Yom Tov because it looks like tikkun kli. It looks like you're fixing or preparing something. And so there's again here a restriction, and he violated that restriction. So if he did it unintentionally, he's allowed to use the utensils. If he did it intentionally, he's not allowed to use them. So it says, we get the same answer. He has other utensils to use. Inami, even if he doesn't have other utensils to use, efshar b'sheila, he can borrow utensils from someone else. That's not true of food. If he doesn't have food, he can't really borrow food from someone else, especially in their day where they cooked exactly what they needed. They didn't cook excess. They didn't have refrigerators or freezers to put the food in. Whatever was cooked had to be consumed, so they prepared whatever was necessary. They didn't over-prepare and say, they have extras that can lend out to people, so you don't have the option of lending out, and it's a possibility he doesn't have any other food because he didn't prepare anything. If that's the case, maybe it'll be different in our case than it is in that case of the tefillah. Tashma, amivashel b'Shabbat b'shogeg yeachel, b'mezid lo yeachel. Someone who cooks on Shabbat, so now this is a violation, outright violation of bishul on Shabbat, does it unintentionally, he's allowed to partake of it. B'mezid, if he does it intentionally, lo yeachel, he can't eat from it. So when it says, again, you can't compare this, yisurah to Shabbat shiny. When it comes to the Isra of Shabbat, here you have a full-fledged violation of Shabbat d'oraita of cooking on Shabbat. So first of all, Shabbat versus Yom Tov. And on top of that, it's something that's asumi d'oraita, not asumi d'rabanan. And once you have that, maybe here we penalize him because the violation is such a problematic violation. He's talking about Shabbat and he's talking about an Isra d'oraita. Over there we'll penalize him. Over here, by the case, it's only an Isra d'rabanan and it's on Yom Tov. Maybe we would not penalize him for that, and therefore maybe we can't extrapolate from what said by Bishul on Shabbat to Avar Rafa on Yom Tov. Now that we made that distinction that Shabbat is unique, you could have answered that for the previous cases as well, that those were on Shabbat, and therefore they're uniquely, there's a penalty for Shabbat. If you say that the uniqueness of this situation is that it's on Shabbat and it's Doraita, then you would need the other answers that you had before, because the other cases are Derabbanan, even though they're on Shabbat, but they're Derabbanan. But if you say Shabbat is so different than Yom Tov, then that could be the answer for everything we gave until now, which is those are all cases on Shabbat. We're dealing with a case that's on Yom Tov. All right, Beit Shammai Omrim Shnei Tavshilim. So Beit Shammai says you need two cooked items, whereas Beit Hillel says you need one. Matznitin deloki haitano. Our Mishnah is not like this braita. Titanio. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, ashnei tavshilin, shetarich. They both agree that you need two tavshilin. Aman echluku. What's their machloket about? Al dagu beitza shealav. The fish that has an egg that is cooked on top of it. Beit Shammai omrim shnei tavshilin. Beit Shammai says that you need two tavshilin, and this only counts as one. Beit Hillel omrim tavshil echad. You need two tavshilin, and this qualifies that this one tavshil, where you have the dog and the beitza together, really qualifies as two, and therefore it solves your problem. Which is a very hard way to read the Gemara. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara, the Girsa that Rashi has. Tosfot, because of that difficulty in reading the Gemara that way, says that the Girsa should be just the opposite, and then it would make it much easier to read, and he says that's the Girsa in the Tosefta as well. Which is that Beit Shammai says Tavshil Echad, that the Beitza and the dog only count as one Tavshil. Beit Hillel says Shnei Tavshilin, it counts as two Tavshilin. Now they both come, Rashi and Tosfot, to the same conclusion as to what's the position of Beit Shammai and what's the position of Beit Hillel. It's a question of how to read it into the wording. According to Rashi's reading into the wording, it's very difficult to understand because he's saying that when they say it means two tafshilin, they're saying that you really need two tafshilin, this only counts as one. Or when he says tafshil achad, he's saying you need two tafshilin, and this counts as being two, so that one tafshil is enough. It's a hard reading, and therefore Tosafot adjusts the girsa to flip the girsa between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, come to the same conclusion, that Beit Shammai requires two, and an egg and a fish are not sufficient. Beit Hillel requires two, and says that an egg and a fish are sufficient, and they are considered to be two tafshilin. Shavin, and they both agree, she prepared beitzah, natan l'toch hadag, if he didn't just cook the egg on top of the fish, rather he first cooked the egg separately and then stuffed it into the fish, that everybody agrees there that that's considered to be two tavshilin. Oshiri seik kloflutot v'natan atoch hadag, or he minced. Kaflutot are probably, are a species of onion or maybe a leek. And so he minced them up and then he stuffed the fish with them. Shein shnei tavshilin. That's counted as two tavshilin. So everybody agrees to that. Amarova, hilchata ketana didan, valebid beit hillel. The loch is like our tano, which means that beit hillel only requires one tavshil. Beit shemai requires two tavshilin. So that's number one. And it's a libid beit hillel, which means you only need one tavshil. And it seems to be from our mishnah that that would mean that you need one tavshil, and that would be sufficient to do bishul, afiyah, and hatmana, because that's what we saw previously in the Gemara, that according to Beit Hillel, one tavshil permits you to do everything, whereas Beit Shammai, in the bright that we brought from Chananya, says you need a separate item for each different type of malacha that you want to do, whereas Beit Hillel says tavshil covers you on everything. So it would seem that Arev Tavshilim should just work by simply having one tavshil, and you should be fine with that. Yet, the Balei HaTosafot over here say that that's not the case, that even though that would be the way that you would read the Gemara, that would be the conclusion you come to, and that's what the Ri says. Nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Tam believed that for Afiyah, you need to do a pot. And even according to Beit Hillel, be one tavshil for Bishul. But for Afiyah, you would need a separate pot to be part of your Eruv pot, or Eruv tavshilin, in order to be able to bake. And it would seem that the reasoning behind the position of the Rabbeinu Tam is that the fact that our Mishnah only mentions tavshilin, and maybe it's only addressing the issue of Bishul. It's not clear from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is addressing about Afiyat. Maybe it's just saying by Bishul, Beit Shammai requires two Tavshilin, and Beit Hillel requires one Tavshil. But by Pat, the Mishnah is not discussing that at all. And maybe you still require Pat. And therefore, when Rava says, Aloch is like Beit Hillel in our Mishnah, he's talking about just about the aspect or narrow part about Tavshilim. How many Tavshilim do you need? But it's not talking about Eruv Tavshilin in the generic sense. But what you need to do afiyah, that's not addressed by the Mishnah. That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Beit Hillel just says you need one item. So you need one pot and one tavshil. Beit Shammai might say you need two tavshilin and two pot in order to fulfill the pot side of it in our Mishnah. And because of that, Rabbeinu Tam is choshesh for that and says you need a pot and a tavshil. So the Ri brings all the evidence from the Gemara that it seems otherwise. And at the end, he makes a very interesting comment. He says, Mekom makom Ri, lo me'alani libi lavor al divrei dodi. I couldn't bring myself to violate the psak of the Rabbeinu Tam. Tzarech shnei tavshilin, pat v'tavshil v'chein amadovar. Says, therefore, because the Rabbeinu Tam said it, we have to have a pat and a tavshil, and I'm not going to override him, even though I think the Gemara indicates otherwise. V'chein amadovar means that's the minogam, and that's what we see people doing. That if you want to make an erev tavshilin, you need one pat, and you need one tavshil. That's the practice today, that people, when they make an erev tavshilin, take a matzo, which is the pat or the afiyah, and an egg, or hard-boiled egg, which is the bishul. And so together you have bishul and afiyah, you put those together, they allow you to do bishul and afiyah, and that's how we do our Erev Tavshilin today, based on this Rabbeinu Tam. Even though you can see clearly from the Ri, and even the Rabbeinu Chanano, who says that according to Beit Hillel, that, Heiniach adam eruvei tavshilin voseh bo kol tzorcho, tomer, ofeh, mevashel, matmin, etachamin, you can do whatever you need, even though that's what seems to be indicated from the Gemara and the way that Rava is paskening. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam thinks otherwise, and the Rabbeinu Tam carries a lot of weight in the halacha, especially in Ashkenaz, and therefore the halacha remains like the Rabbeinu Tam, and that we require davar mevushal and a davar afui in order to have your Erev Tavshilin work for afiyah and bishul. Achalo shavad arezeh lo yivashel alav. Amar Abaye naktinan, we concluded, or we believe the halacha is, hitchil b'yisato, if you already began to work or knead his dough, v'nechale ruvo, and then the Erev Tavshilin was lost or got consumed, then, gomer, you're allowed to finish. So as long as you started beheter, we allow you to finish that which you began with heter, you just may not start something new after that point in time. And that likely is because there's a hefseid meruba over here, that if you already started to work on these items that are going to be preparation for Shabbat, if we make you stop in the middle, it's all going to go to waste. So there's some Rishonim who believe that that's the heter that is over here. On the other hand, the Rosh mentions that as long as you began the process of being preparing for Shabbat on Yom Tov, you can finish that process because you started it, you can finish it. It's not correlated or connected to any specific item. It's got to do with the process as a whole. And therefore, if you started, we'll let you finish because you began Beheter. And since you began Beheter, you can finish it off without having to worry about the fact that now the Erev Tavshilin is gone. But if you have yet to begin, then the loss or the absence of the Erev Tavshilin makes it that you can't prepare anything from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And both Deot are brought down the Halacha, and the Mishnah Berurah does say that Bishat HaDchak, you can rely on that opinion, that once you've started the preparations, you can finish all the preparations, not just in any particular item that you've started that you can finish. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet.